Scripture reading for tonight is Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. This is a chapter in which Solomon is giving instruction to his covenant son. We will especially look at verse 23. That will be the text for tonight. We will read the whole chapter. Proverbs 4, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light, that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Thus far we read the holy, infallibly inspired Word of God. May He bless the Word unto our hearts. The text is verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Do you care about your heart? When you hear that question, maybe the first thing you think of is your physical heart, and you think, of course, yes, I care about my physical heart. If I don't care about my physical heart, I will die. But what about your spiritual heart? What about your spiritual center? Do you care about that? Satan certainly does. Satan cares a lot about the hearts of the children of God. He cares a lot about the hearts of the little children here and the young people and the young adults. He cares a lot. You see, Satan, he knows that you are believers. So he attacks you. He would love nothing more than especially to get to the young people, to the young adults. If he can get an avenue into their heart, pollute them more and more with sin, then he has an avenue into the church for a long, long time. That's what he wants. Nothing more than that. He wants to poison your hearts with sin. So we need to guard our hearts. We need to keep our hearts. Guarding them is so important. We want to keep Satan from poisoning them, but we want to guard our hearts so what flows forth from them is good activity, God-glorifying activity, activity that honors and serves the God who has given to us everything, salvation, eternal life. Guarding your heart is so, so important. We want hearts that are focused on our God, His greatness, and serving Him. Now, Proverbs 4 teaches us, God's covenant children, about guarding our hearts. This is instruction that Solomon was giving to his covenant son. Much of Proverbs is like that. Often the book is written as a conversation between Solomon and his covenant child. Proverbs 4 is like that too. Verse 20 of the chapter we read says this. Solomon says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings." In verse 23, Solomon says to his son, he says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That's his instruction. It's his instruction to his son, and that's the instruction that we all need tonight, and especially our children, our young people. Young people, young adults, you have heard about the importance of keeping your heart and guarding it against Satan throughout your entire life. You've heard about that in school, you've heard about that at home, heard about that in the catechism room. You've been taught about that. But tonight, you need to be reminded of the importance of it. This is a word for you, you especially. But it's also a word for all of us. For all of us as those who have been given the marvelous gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have that calling to guard our heart. And tonight, may the Spirit move us. Move us to obey this call and go forward in the week to come and in the rest of our lives, guarding our heart from the bad, seeking good influences upon our hearts. Let's consider this text under the theme, guarding your heart. And first, let's consider your heart. Second, guarding it. And third, the possibility. First, your heart. Second, guarding it. And third, the possibility. First, your heart. What is it? The heart is the inner life from which flows your thoughts, desires, and actions. Again, your heart is the inner life from which flows your thoughts, your desires, and your actions. Now, the text is speaking of your spiritual heart. May that be very clear. Proverbs 4, verse 23 is not speaking of the physical heart. If it was, then all the verses that surround verse 23 would talk about maybe exercise, or would talk about eating right so you could keep your heart, your physical heart healthy. But that's not what the surrounding verses speak about. The surrounding verses are all about a child's spiritual life, about keeping his tongue and his lips from evil, keeping his eyelid, his eyes from evil, going to the right places on his feet, keeping one's feet from evil also in verse 27. So it's clear from the context this verse, verse 23, is about the spiritual heart. Now again, from your spiritual heart flows your thoughts, desires, and your actions. To understand your spiritual heart, think about your physical heart. Your physical heart is the source or the origin of the blood flow to the entirety of your body. So from your heart, your physical heart, flows blood to the rest of your body. The physical heart is a picture of our spiritual hearts. From your physical heart flows that blood to the rest of your body, while from your spiritual heart flows that activity in the world. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it," this is especially important here in this section of the sermon, for out of it are the issues of life. That phrase, issues of life, there, it literally means springs of life. Issues of life means springs or the outgoings of life. Out of the heart springs forth all activity, springs forth the thoughts, desires, and the actions. Now we are looking here in this text at the heart very broadly tonight. That has to be understood before we go farther. We're looking at the heart broadly in this text. For some time, as I considered this text when I was in my home church in Edgerton, this was a big struggle for me on how to define the heart. The term heart is one of the most difficult and complex subjects in all of the Scriptures. It's very deep. The heart in Scripture, sometimes it refers more narrowly to the regenerated heart. But at other times, the heart refers more broadly to your whole inner life. After speaking to different pastors and professors and others, it became evident to me that in this text, the idea of the heart has to be viewed broadly. Here the idea of the heart is simple. This is the instruction, remember, of a father to his covenant child. It's not complicated. Look at it as a child will look at this. The idea of the heart is simple. You have this inner life. Your inner life is your heart. And from your heart flows all your thoughts, desires, and actions. You can even think of it like this, kids. You can think of it as a control center of sorts. Your heart is the control center that controls all those thoughts, desires, and actions. That's the idea of the heart. From your heart flows activities that are good or bad, activities that are pleasing to God or displeasing to God. In this text, Solomon is speaking about the heart of a child of God. The text says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Solomon is not speaking here to an unbeliever about his heart. He is speaking about the heart of his believing child. The heart of a child that has God working in him. And so we apply it today, tonight, to the hearts of God's children. The text is speaking about our hearts and the hearts of our dear children who have God working in us. The text is speaking about us who have the Spirit working in us. Now, the heart of a child of God can be a healthy heart or an unhealthy heart. The heart of a child of God is not dead. It's not dead. That's the heart of one who's not God's child. A wicked man, he's dead. There's no life of God there. But the heart of a child of God has the life of the Spirit. And that heart of the child of God can be healthy or unhealthy. It can be spiritually strong or very weak. We know that. We've experienced that in our own lives. Now, by a healthy heart or by a spiritually strong heart, I refer to the heart of a child of God that is focused upon God and upon serving Him. That child of God knows Jesus Christ, knows what Christ has done for him, and his heart is focused upon God. By an unhealthy heart, I refer to the heart of a child of God that is not focused upon God and not focused upon serving him. That child of God is forgetting about Jesus Christ and what he's done. His heart is holding on to sin, and really, really sin is gaining the upper hand there. So we have spiritually healthy hearts and spiritually unhealthy hearts at times. Now, from the heart of a child of God flows activities that are good or bad. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23 shows us that. Mark 7, verses 20 through 23. We read there, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. So from a spiritually unhealthy heart, pull activities that are not pleasing to God. From a polluted spring. Imagine a polluted spring of water. From that polluted spring would flow forth polluted waters. Well, from a polluted heart, from a heart that's very spiritually unhealthy, flows polluted activity. A child of God with an unhealthy heart is not focused upon Christ, is not focused upon giving God praise. So what is flowing from his heart instead is sinful acts, sinful thoughts, sinful desires. And we all know that we have had those unhealthy hearts at times in our lives. We do. On the other hand, from a spiritually healthy heart of a child of God flows activities that are pleasing to God. From a clean fountain or spring of water flows forth clean water. Well, from a good, healthy heart flows forth good activity, God-glorifying activity. That man's heart is focused on his God. Now, what we do outwardly then, what follows from this is that what we do outwardly is a window into the condition of our hearts. What we do outwardly is a window into the condition of our hearts. Think about two little children who both want the same toy. Two kids who have unhealthy hearts are going to be pushing each other out of the way. They're going to be doing whatever they can to get that toy and just get it for themselves. That activity is a window into their hearts. Their hearts are not focused upon God and serving Him. Their hearts are focused upon self. It's a window into an unhealthy heart. However, on the other hand, two kids that have strong, healthy hearts, they share the toy with each other. Their hearts are clearly focused on God and His way. You can tell the condition of the heart by their activity. And that makes sense with young people too. The activities of lying to parents, lying on a time card, or cheating on tests, that tells you the condition of their heart. Their hearts are not focused on God. They're focused on self. However, the activity of telling the parents the truth about where they're going and what they're doing, that is a window into a good heart. That shows you their hearts are healthy, strong, focused on God. What the young people text, what they put on Snapchat, what they like on Instagram, Facebook, all the other social media sites, that's a window into their heart. Out of your heart, as a child of God, flows the issues of life, flows the activities of life. And these activities are good or bad, as we have seen. That's the heart. The heart is your whole inner life from which flows forth your thoughts, desires, and actions. And these activities are good or bad. Now the calling of the text, the very clear calling of the text, is to guard your heart. Guard your heart so that what flows forth is good and pleasing to God. Good and pleasing and serves our glorious and great God. So we need to understand clearly what this important command is tonight. What does it mean to guard our hearts? What does that mean? Now the word in the text, if you look at verse 23, the word there is keep. That word in the original language has the idea of guard. That's why I use that word tonight. The idea is guard or protect. Keep it safe. Now to understand this command, let's look at an illustration. Think of a spring of water. A spring of water. Now I use that illustration tonight because the word issues in the text is literally springs or outgoings. So think of a spring of water. In some towns, the source of their water is a spring. The water, or the rain, falls down. It gets into the soil. It passes through the rock, and then eventually it finds its way out of a hole in the ground. And that hole in the ground from which the water goes forth is the spring. Now, that water, when it passes through that rock and that soil, it's actually purified. So that what passes through that hole, that spring, is pure water. Now, if the town has a spring as its water source, that town is going to do whatever it can to keep that water pure. It's going to protect it. It's going to guard that water source. They're going to guard it so that no pollution gets into the spring. And they're going to guard it in this sense too, that if there is any pollution in it, they're going to take it out. Keep the pollution from getting in, and if there's any pollution in it, get it out. They're going to guard the water source. Now, as that spring is guarded, so also must our hearts be guarded from enemies who seek to pollute our hearts. And you are well aware of the enemy who especially seeks to pollute that heart, Satan. Satan, he does whatever he can to pollute our hearts. He tries to make sin look good and the good look bad. He seeks to make us believe that following his ways, that's the good way. That's going to lead to happiness. Seeks to pollute our hearts, keep them from being focused on God, but instead be focused on the things of the world or on ourselves. Now Satan, in seeking to pollute our hearts, he uses the world. He uses the world very well. He uses the world to attack us. He's good at it. And we also still have a sinful nature. We have a sinful nature that wants us to follow Satan in the world, focused on riches. It's that pollution within. That pollution needs to be gotten rid of. So this is the command tonight. Guard your hearts. Keep away from those things that will bring pollution into your hearts. Also, remove that pollution that is already there. Get rid of that. And use every means available to serve the health of your heart. The spiritual health of your heart. Get rid of the bad. Keep the bad from coming in. And use every means available to serve the health of your heart as a child of God. Now we will look more clearly at exactly how we do that in just a moment. But first, let's see that guarding your heart is of great importance. Remember, guarding means protecting, and protecting your heart is of great importance according to the text. We read in verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence." Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now that word diligence in verse 23 is actually a word that comes from the same root as keep or guard. So the verse could actually read this way. You could read it, "Keep thy heart with all keeping," or "Guard thy heart with all guarding." And the idea is this: above all that is to be guarded, guard your heart. Above all that is to be kept, keep your heart. It's important for a town to watch that spring of water. That's their water source. It's very important for them to keep the pollution out. It's more important to guard your heart. It's very important that we watch our weight, watch our home, watch our cars, watch our retirement funds, watch our college funds. That all that stuff is important. But what's most important is guarding your heart. Guard it. Keep Satan and sin from overtaking your heart and making your heart bad and unhealthy. Guard it. Now it's important that we guard our hearts, and that's so important because it is in that way, it is in the way of guarding our hearts, that we glorify our God, the God of our salvation, and it is in the way of guarding our hearts that we experience blessed fellowship with God. Those two things. It's important that we guard our hearts because it's in that way that we glorify our God. And again, that's what we want to do. You see, again, this is addressed to a covenant child of Solomon. It's addressed tonight to covenant children of God. Children who heard the word this morning, who heard the marvelous truth of what Jesus Christ, our Savior, has done for us. What he's done for our children, how he works in the line of continued generations, moves our hearts to believe, gives us eternal life with him. That's who this is addressed to. Those who know the marvelous gospel, who know salvation. We want to glorify him. Now, we will not be able to glorify him without guarding our hearts. If we do not guard our hearts, we will fall into terrible sin. Think of that spring of water. If that town that has that spring of water, if they do not have someone ever watching that spring and just let it go, well, there's a very good chance that that spring is going to become polluted over time. But then you think of your heart, and it is a guarantee. It's not just a good chance, it's a guarantee that a heart that is left unguarded, that heart will become very, very unhealthy. And what will flow forth from that heart is sinful activity, not glorifying to the God who has given to us everything. That's why this is important. Guard your heart from sin and Satan so that your heart is healthy. And what flows forth from that healthy heart is God-glorifying activity. That's what we want. Good thoughts, God-glorifying actions, God-glorifying desires. That's what we want. In the first place, it's important to guard your heart then, because it's in that way that we glorify God. In the second place, it is important to guard your heart because it is in that way that we experience wonderful fellowship with our God. And that indeed is a wonderful thing, that experience, that enjoyment of fellowship. May be very clear tonight that those who do not guard their hearts, they do not experience fellowship with God. What happens is their heart becomes very, very unhealthy. More and more sin flows forth. They're walking in sin. And one who is living like the devil, who's living in sin, he does not experience fellowship with God. He doesn't. I feel miserable, far from God, as David did in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 when he was continuing on in sin. Think of those times in your life. We have all experienced them. Think of those times in your life in which you failed, in which you continued in sin. You felt far from God. Those who do, however, guard their hearts, they walk in God's ways, and they experience fellowship with God. Now, that does not mean they have earned fellowship. They have not earned that fellowship by guarding their hearts. One has fellowship with God on the basis of what our Savior has done on the cross and by faith. But also this, we experience that fellowship in the way of obedience. God works that way. God gives faith to His children. He gives faith to us, and having that faith and knowing Christ, knowing what He's done, we seek to live to His glory. We seek to guard our hearts in thankfulness. And it's in that way we experience life with God. And there is nothing, nothing better than that. Fellowship with God and knowing His closeness is wonderful. So guard your hearts. It's in that way that we glorify Him. It's in that way that we experience wonderful fellowship with our God. Now specifically, how do we go about guarding our hearts? We've kept it general so far. We've looked at the truth that you have to keep the bad influences out. And you want to turn to the good influences. Let's look at that more specifically now. Keep away from all things that are bad influences on the heart. Keep away from bad influences like wicked entertainment. The wicked television shows, movies, internet sites, music. You know about those things. We live in this world. Consider for a moment what is heard on some of these television shows, what's heard in some of these movies, what's heard in some of this music, and what that does to your heart. Just think about that. In so many of the TV shows and so much of the music today, they're swearing, taking God's name in vain, sexual jokes. If you are listening to those things, what do you think that does to your heart? It certainly does not lead to a heart that's focused on God. That ought to be very clear. We know that. Hear that again tonight. Be reminded of that. One who does that, one who walks in that way, his heart becomes focused on sin, on filth, on fornication. And even the songs and even the shows that do not have those things explicitly in them, even those shows are full of the pride of men. Even those shows are all about the greatness of men and the music of the world, all about the pride of man, the boasts of man's greatness. All that does is serve to set one's heart on those things instead of on God. Consider also the bad things that you see on some of these shows. We've talked about what you hear. Consider the things that you see on some of these shows, the video games or on the internet sites. Think of the pornography. Pornography is so easily accessed today on the internet. So easy to access. What does that do to a man's heart? What does that man's heart become focused on? Certainly not on God. Certainly not on serving Him. Think about the violence. The violence that's so prevalent, not only in the movies and television shows, but in the video games. You think about one who's continually playing those video games. What does that do to his or her focus? The focus of their heart. What does their heart become focused on? Certainly not God. Certainly not the keeping of the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. Letting these things influence your heart hurts your heart, and thus leads you into sin. It leads you away from a God-glorifying life. You will be walking in sin, and you will not be experiencing fellowship with God. It leads to misery. So people of God, children, young people, keep away from all those wicked forms of entertainment. Keep away from them. Think of what Christ has done for you. We want to have clean hearts. We want to have hearts that are focused on God so that what pours forth from them is God-glorifying activity. So every time this week and next week and for the rest of your life, when you turn on that television, when you hit the power button, or when you get into your car, you think about this. You think about guarding your heart. You think about what our Lord and Savior has done for you. Remember that. Guard your heart, so that what flows forth is God-glorifying activity. So first of all, keep away from bad influences like wicked entertainment. In second place, keep away from bad friends. It's another bad influence upon the heart, bad acquaintances. There may be those at school, college. There may be those at work who are always trying to get you to do things that you ought not to do, who want you to watch those movies filled with violence or sexual activity. They always want you to go out for a drink, for many. They may, in general, have a bad attitude towards church, or they're always speaking down about their minister or the elders or someone else in church. You think about the influence that has upon your heart over time. What happens when you keep that acquaintance? Well, your heart is led away from a proper focus upon God and upon serving Him. So humbly show. Humbly show those friends the errors in their ways. And if they will not turn, you must go away from them. You cannot keep that acquaintance. So important. So important that we do not associate with those who are living in ungodliness. Friends have such a huge effect upon your heart. Kids, realize that now. Knowing what Christ has done, keep away from those bad influences. We want to have clean hearts from which flow forth God-glorifying activity. So keep away from the bad influences, but now see the positive. turn to the good influences. And the number one good influence is the Word of God. That's the number one good influence upon your heart. And that's why Solomon emphasizes it throughout the text. He understood the power of the Word of God. So he emphasizes it again and again throughout this chapter. In verse 20 of the text, or verse 20 of chapter 4, Solomon says this to his son. He says, "My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Solomon, remember, was speaking the word of God to his son here. So what he's doing when he says, attend to my words, he's telling his son really this. He's saying, pay attention to the word of God. Listen here. This is the word of God. He wants the word to have an influence upon his son's heart. And what a positive influence the word has. Reading the word. Hearing the word proclaimed on the Sabbath day, what an influence that has upon our hearts. What happens is this by the grace of God. We see His great grace to us, what He's done in sending His Son. And then we go throughout the week thinking about that. That's on our minds. We think about that as we walk up and down the stairs. We think about that as we sit on the lawnmower. We think about that as we drive our car. We're thinking about what our God has done. We're in the Word, so that's what we're focused on. But also think of this. When we are in the Word, think of what happens. When that temptation to lie, for instance, when that temptation to lie comes to us who are in the Word, then it's coming to one whose heart is focused on Christ and not on serving self. So we are able to turn from that temptation and turn to the Lord by the grace of God. The Word is a very powerful influence then. What flows forth from our hearts is good activity. The Word also, it serves to shed light upon the sins that we harbor in our hearts. It's another reason to turn to the Word. The Word sheds light upon those sins that we harbor within us, our pet sins, as we sometimes call them, the sins that our flesh especially likes. But that's how the Word works. You read of that in Psalm 51 and Psalm 32. There, David, he was walking in sin, but Nathan the prophet brought to him the Word, and that exposed the sins that were within David. Saw that pollution within him, and he put it out by the grace of God, by the power of the Word. Our sins too, just as they were for David, our sins are exposed from the Word of God, by the Word of God. We put that pollution out. So turn to the Word. Turn to the Word. Come here regularly to hear the Word proclaimed. Have a regular devotion life as a family, but also personally. Kids, prepare for catechism and go to catechism. You need to hear the Word. That's the good influence upon your heart so that what flows forth is good activity. God-glorifying activity. And there are other good influences. The Word is number one, but also turn to good influences like godly music. Music has such an influence upon the heart. And music is so powerful because we remember the words to music better than anything else, really, that we hear. And you know that to be true for yourself, that you hear a song and you can remember the words for years to come. The words just flow together. Well, by God's grace then, godly music will serve as a good influence upon your heart. By God's grace, your heart will become more and more focused upon God and what He's done in sending His Son. When your heart's focused upon God, what flows forth is God-glorifying activity. When you that temptation comes to be selfish or to go to that party that you shouldn't go to, when that temptation comes, your heart is focused upon Christ and not on serving self. So you put off that pollution, you put off that sin. We serve God. Turn to godly music. Turn to the Word. Turn to godly music. Turn to godly friends. We talked about the bad influence that evil acquaintances have. Well, now we talk about turning to godly friends and the good influence they have upon the heart. Talking about His Word with your friends and the things of the church, or just having good, clean fun together as young people. That helps keep our focus, the focus of our heart, on God. Find godly friends. That's the calling tonight. That's the calling. Your heart, remember, is your whole inner life. From your heart flows good activity and bad activity. As His children, we want good activity to flow from our hearts, so we need to guard them. We need to guard our hearts. And that is possible only through Jesus Christ. The possibility is only in Jesus Christ, who gives to us wisdom. Who gives us wisdom tonight. We need wisdom if we are going to guard our hearts. Throughout Proverbs, and throughout this passage, Solomon emphasizes the importance of wisdom. You see that if you look at chapter 4. Verse 5, Solomon says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Verse 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Wisdom is the principal thing. We need wisdom if we are going to guard our hearts. Wisdom is the ability to apply the truth that you know in a proper manner, in a God-glorifying manner. Again, wisdom is the ability to apply what you know in the proper manner, in a God-glorifying manner. Now, if we're going to guard our hearts, we need wisdom. We know the truth. We've heard the truth tonight. We need to guard our hearts. We need to put away the bad influences, and we want to turn to the good influences. Well, we need wisdom if we are going to go forward and do what we know and what we have heard tonight. We need wisdom. And who gives us that wisdom? Who gives us that wisdom to apply that word we've heard tonight and to go forward guarding our hearts? We know the answer. It's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He gives us the wisdom. Christ was perfectly wise Himself. He never sinned. He perfectly applied all that He knew in the proper manner, living always to the glory of God. Well, now is the one who has died for us and the one who has ascended on high, who reigns at God's right hand. He now gives wisdom, bestows that upon His children. Upon you and me and our little children even. Luke 21 verse 15 shows us that it is Christ alone who is the giver of that wisdom. Luke 21 verse 15 says this, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." I give you wisdom. From His throne on high, as the Almighty Lord, He gives that to you and me. What a gift it is. By the power of Christ then, by the power of Christ, by the wisdom He gives us, we are able to apply what we've heard tonight and go forward, guarding our hearts every day, every hour, by His power. By the power of Christ, let's put away those bad influences, put away that wicked entertainment, put away the bad friends, and turn to the good influences. Turn to the Word especially. And young people, I urge you tonight in your prayers, your personal devotions, pray. Get on your knees and cry out. Cry out to God. Say, Oh God, please give to me wisdom. Give to me wisdom that I might guard my heart. We cannot do it on our own. Oh God, give to us wisdom. May He grant us His rich grace. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Oh God, Thou hast made us Thy dear children through the blood of Jesus Christ. May we seek to guard our hearts. And we turn to the good influences so that what flows forth is activity glorifying to Thee, our God. Lord, we need wisdom. We need wisdom to go forward this week and in the rest of our lives to do that, to guard our hearts. Supply us with that now and the week to come. We pray these things knowing that Thou art the God who is able to do for us exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.